This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one and only Mr. Ryan Cabrera.
What's up? What's up?
How are you today? What are you doing? Tell me everything.
I am doing fantastic. I just kind of enjoying the weather has gone from very, very hot to now kind of breezy. So I'm taking full advantage of that. I took the thing off. I have like a mobile, like an auto home on top of my Jeep.
Oh, wow.
That I just got. And it's a tent that pops up. And so we can take it anywhere, pop the tent up and then sleep on top of my car. But it weighs like, 3,000 pounds. So I finally took it off today so I can take the roof off my Jeep because the weather's getting nice.
And where are you? You're in California?
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, see, this is why I just never assume. I just make up backstories for people.
I was out in California for a bit, but since the whole pandemic thing started, I've been out in Florida. Me and my now fiance have been out here because she remained working in Orlando. And so at the time, being a good boyfriend, I was like, okay, we can, we'll spend more time out there. That way you don't have to travel back and forth. So we would kind of go visit LA. I'd go pop in the studio for a little bit, and then we'd come back to Florida and kind of been living that Florida retired life right now, pretty much.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. While I can, I've been doing a lot of charity stuff at the same time. I've been putting together these online virtual charity shows. And so that has been fun. I was flying back to LA to do that. I did one for Camp Ronald McDonald. And we raised like over $30,000 just like doing virtual stuff. So right now, just trying to kind of adapt to not being able to tour. This is the longest I've ever gone in my entire career since I started playing music without playing like a real live show. So
really?
It's weird. Yeah, it's trippy to be at home. And for me, like, I love creating. I'm such a, like, I want to be creating every day. So I've been trying to find different ways other than just music to keep creating and, being cooking a lot. I've been painting a lot. I started making custom jackets for fun. Cause I posted some that I made for my lady, and then people were like, oh my God, I want one. So then I was like, oh dude, I'll start making some for some fans. So I made like a limited edition, like 8 custom jackets for fans. And
wow.
That was really fun. So I think just like everybody else, basically what are we doing right now? Trying to figure out ways to stay busy and creative while I can.
Are you going crazy, like, just because this is the longest you haven't toured? Are you just like, is this like?
Yeah, it's so hard for me because I live on the stage. I'm the most comfortable on the stage. I love, like, it's weird to not get that, reaction or energy back, from playing music and seeing people's faces. And, for me, like, the biggest reason of why I do what I do is to, make people happy through music. And that has been the hardest part, not to, I can record stuff and put it out, but, it's not the same as playing a live show.
Right. Well, that's good. It makes you realize you're in the right profession.
I couldn't live without, we've been trying to figure out ways to kind of do some stuff. We were talking about, some of the drive up concerts and that kind of thing. And I just told, I told everyone I'm down when it's time we can do that. If I can safely put on that stuff, let me get up on stage. I'm in. It's killing me.
Were you ever growing up, like, ever considering anything other than music, or it was just always clearly music?
I enjoyed my time when I worked at the Chick-fil-A. That was fantastic. I thought maybe if that was my future, if it wasn't music, I'm going back to Chick-fil-A.
And, like, who were your musical influences, like, growing up?
When I was growing up, it was really, I listened to everything. Like everybody else, like, we go through these phases of, like, I was super into hip hop, then I was super into like metal, and then I was super into, like Green Day and like hard rock. And then all of a sudden, I saw Dave Matthews for the first time. And when I saw him play, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And then I picked up the acoustic guitar, put down the electric guitar, and kind of everything changed after that.
Wow.
I wanted to be him. I was like, I want to be like that guy. I even did the dance. When I was like 19, I'd get on stage and sing and do the dance, like the crazy Dave Matthews feat. And then, you know, after a couple of years, you start to develop your own, you know, style and figure out who you are, and that kind of develops. But that would be my biggest inspiration.
Wow. And then in 2001, that's when you were signed.
2002. I moved to LA in 2001, probably in 2002 got signed. And then one of my biggest, you know, inspirations growing up too, was the Goo Goo Dolls. I loved Goo Goo Dolls. I loved Matchbox 20. And that kind of genre of music. And they asked, my publisher asked me, he goes, so after I got signed, he goes, if you could work with anybody, you know, in the world, you know, who would it be? And I said, Goo Goo Dolls or Matchbox 20. And then he called me back and he goes, so Johnny Resnick wants to work with you. And I'm like, oh, I was just joking. Like, wait, that's a thing. Like, he would work with me. You know, I'm just this little punk kid. And we got together, we wrote a song. And then we were like, oh, let's write another song. So we wrote a couple songs. Next thing I know, I'm in Johnny Resnick's studio in his house. And then was like, well, this is fun. You want to produce my album? And he goes, I mean, why not? So then I ended up, you know, working with him, you know, one of my heroes for that first album, Take It All Away.
Wow. And then Take It All Away, that was a success right away, pretty much.
It took a while, actually. Well, what happened was, so On the Way Down was a very slow rising single. Like, we were at the charts, you know, the bottom of the charts for a long time. But the guy who's signed me, who's a genius, Evan Lamberg, he goes, this is what you want. You want a slow rise. What you don't want is a number one hit overnight and then it'd be gone forever. And he was right. Because now, like in my career, like even songs like On the Way Down and True and Shine On and, you know, some of those songs, I will remember you. They still get played today because of, you know, the slow rise of like how they work the singles. Now, when my album came out, they weren't expecting it to debut so high because, you know, the single wasn't going crazy yet. But I think from being on TV, you know, being on Ashley's show and people kind of, you know, loving her show, they didn't even have enough of the albums in stores. So it was sold out everywhere for the first week. And I'm like, come on, guys, I told you, let's do this. So it was an interesting beginning.
Do you think that really, like, did you see a real difference, like, from being on Ashley's show of, like, the power of TV and now, you know, like, it was a slow rise, but then...
Well, what was cool about it is they, you know, especially back then, because back then, like, those the reality shows, they were just following us with a camera. There wasn't scripted. It wasn't, like, set up scenarios. They followed me and Ashley around. And so what's cool about that is they kind of got to know you. And I thought that was important, you know, with my music. If they got to know a little bit of you, you know, obviously I got a little more into like, so tell me about more about your relationship. You know, when I go to radio stations, I'm like, oh, no, let's talk about the album. You know, and they wanted to talk about your relationship. So I learned kind of the hard way of what, there's the pros and cons of that. But I thought it was cool that people got to, you know, see a little bit of, you know, what your personality is like before they saw you in concert. So yeah, it was definitely like a big jump of now we got to go see him live. And then I think people from that point realized like, oh, okay, this is a real songwriter and, you know, a real musician, not like what I kind of got pigeonholed into as like a, you know, at the time, like just, you know, like a teeny bopper pop star kind of thing, which nothing wrong with that. But I was like, no, I write my own songs, you know, and the real songs about real life. And, I've always been pretty proud of that. So I thought that was important and for people to take away.
Did you not like want to be on reality TV? You know what I mean? Just from like.
It wasn't that I didn't want to be on it. We didn't really know what it was at the time for us. We were just young kids, you know, who fell in love at the time. And, you know, there was cameras following. And so it was fun. So I enjoyed it. And I like being, you know, around cameras and being in front of that, you know, kind of world. I like entertaining. So being on that at that time was really fun. And then it just so happened like years later, some of the girls I was dating was on a show. So then I was a part of that kind of by default. I'm like, that point, I didn't really want to do. That kind of show wasn't really for me, because it just wasn't really my thing, you know. It was, you know, fake scenarios, fake setups. And I'm like, at this point, that's just, you know, I'm doing it to be nice for my girlfriend at the time.
Right. And like when you were on the Ashley show, it really was just...
That was just us messing around.
Cameras following you guys. And that really was about music and making an album.
Yeah, her making her album. And I thought that was really cool. And then down the line, shows kind of got a little more fake and scripted, and then became what they are, which, you know.
Where did you originally meet Ashley? And we're going to talk about your new music, and we're going to talk about all the exciting things you have going on now. But I feel like we can't get to the present unless we do a little bit. 100%.
I think, and it's been a really, really fun, you know, ride to be on, you know, the whole music business / you know, your dating life. And it was funny to find out that at some point people like really started caring about who people dated, and that was the news. We can talk about all you want.
So on that note, where did you meet Ashley originally?
We met because when Joe Simpson, her dad, signed me to manage me, he saw me play in Dallas, an acoustic show, and 2 days later I was living in LA in their house. He was like, "You're coming to LA. You're going to live with me and the family." Because I'm like, I just signed up for college. I'd only been in college for 3 months. And he goes, "You'll come live with us, so you don't have to worry about it. And I'm going to shop you around, and we're going to go get you a record deal." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "Let's do it." I didn't even have a pair of shoes. I was just at flip-flops and a small bag. And I was living in LA. So me and Ashley lived next door to each other. Her room was next to mine. So then we obviously became really good friends. And I would go play in her room. I would have like a new song. I would be like, "Hey, what do you think of this?" Because I knew she would always tell me the truth. She'd be like, "Yeah, not for me. I'm good." Or she'd be like, "That one's a hit," you know. So we'd have like late night jams. And I'd literally walk out my door, go into her door, and we'd play Tony Hawk for the wee hours of the night. And, you know, just were really good friends. And that was kind of how that whole thing started.
Were you ever like, "I can't leave college"? I mean, you know, like a lot of people wouldn't just pick up.
I didn't think twice.
Really? Like,
college wasn't for me. I didn't, there was nothing that interested me there. I knew the best experience for me was to get out there and do it. Like to go just jump, dive head in, you know, and be like, go fail and, you know, fail a lot. So that way I know I can learn from it.
I'll admit it, as important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. You talk to one of them, they stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh. Somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today. Beautiful Anonymous.
It's that time of year again, my favorite time of year. Holiday shopping season is back. And normally that means one thing, drawing a blank on what to buy for the men in my life, but not this year. This year I've got it all figured out and you can too. Head on over to DukeCannon.com. That's right, DukeCannon.com. They have holiday-themed grooming gifts like Frothy the Beer Man gift set or the Beard That Stole Christmas gift set. Now, the Frothy the Beer Man gift set and the Beard That Stole Christmas gift set, they're both $20. That's right, $20. And they're really fun. So the Frothy the Beer Man gift set, you get three huge bars of soap. They're 10 ounces each. Two of them are the big ass beer soap and one is the big American bourbon soap. And that's right, they're infused with an adult treat, booze. The beer soaps, you guessed it, are infused with beer, and the bourbon soap is infused with bourbon, but they do not smell like alcohol. So if you're worrying, wait, I'm going to shower and smell like alcohol, no. They're just woodsy. They're like sandalwood, oak barrel. The bourbon smells like oak barrel, and they're very masculine scents. And these bars of soap are huge. And they're really fun. Like the way it's packaged is really, really fun. And don't take my word for it. Go to DukeCannon.com and see for yourself. The Beard That Stole Christmas gift set is also $20. You get two amazing different smelling beard oils and you get a beard wash. It literally tamed my beard. My beard has never felt so good, and it will do this for the man in your life as well. And it smells of cedar, and they're very good masculine scents. So these are just two examples. Head on over to DukeCannon.com. And seriously, don't take my word for it. These are packaged so fun. These are just two examples. They're unexpected. They're useful for any guy. And right now, because you're listening to this podcast, enter promo code VELVETROPE and you get 10% off your next order. You also get free shipping with orders over $30. So if you get both of these at $40, you already got your free shipping. So it's free shipping with orders over $30 and enter VELVETROPE. That's Duke Cannon. Enter VELVETROPE and you get 10% off your next order. And if you want to buy them in person, they're available at some of your local Targets. Guys, this is perfect, masculine, fun for the man in your life. I use it. I love it. DukeCannon.com.
And, you know, get better and grow. And that's what happened. I just jumped straight in. I didn't even think twice about it.
And at that point, like, Ashley wasn't really well known, but was Newlyweds on at that point already? Like,
no, Newlyweds wasn't on yet. No, I was living in the house when Joe kind of came home with that idea of we're going to have a show. It's going to film Jessica and Nick. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, what's going to be entertaining about that? You're just going to follow them around? Because reality TV didn't really exist then. I'm like, right. There's a couple. Like, and they were, you know, they're funny. And the show obviously was a huge hit. And so I got it after watching. And I was, you know, a part of a couple episodes and being around. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But at the time I was like, this is going to suck. Like, you're just following two people around. I was like, they're chill. Like, they're, you know.
So that's it. So
kind
it's
of a fun thing to be around.
So it wasn't like Joe Simpson was so well known. So like, you just took a leap of faith. And
yeah, at the time Jessica was, though. Jessica had, right, you know, that first album. That was like a huge hit. So at the time it was like, oh man, Jessica Simpson's dad wants to sign me. Like, I gotta go. And then, so I got to watch, you know, kind of it go from one level to the next level with the Newlyweds, and then watch Ashley's career go from one level to the next level with the Ashley Simpson show. And it was definitely a fun time to be around and watch that all blossom.
Because, I mean, Newlyweds, like you said, like, we had like The Real World. We didn't really have a lot of reality shows. Like, Newlyweds at the time was like the biggest thing going.
Yeah, like a couple show, you know, just following two people, not like 12 strangers in a house, hash it out kind of thing. It was just, this is a new couple that just got married. You know, what are they going to get into? And I just remember being like, how many scenarios can a couple get into? Boy, was I wrong, because apparently you can get into a lot when you're newly married.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have to say, like, Joe Simpson, like, to have that idea.
It was great. Yeah, it was new, you know, so I think we were all confused. And then when we saw the pilot and Jessica had that chicken of the sea moment, you're like, oh, this is actually funny. This is going to be good.
And to that point, you know, do you think that's a misconception about Jessica? You know, like that moment, like then that became a thing.
Oh, she's just being silly. That's just Jessica being silly, you know, like having fun with it, playing around, kind of, you know, but that turned into a character, you know, and in the entertainment world, yeah, you found something, you're like, okay, oh, I can, she played it up, you know, because she's smart and she knows, you know, this will be funny for the show. And now you learn kind of after that, like what your role is on the show. Okay, so, you know, Nick could be like, oh my God, she's nagging again. Like, I'm just trying to watch the show with the boys, blah, blah, blah. But like, he's playing that up as well. Because, you know, when the camera's on, you know, at the end of the day, you're entertaining. So you know you need to.
Right. And you can't have a billion-dollar empire if you're really a dumb blonde.
No. Oh, no. She's a smart girl.
And so then after that Ashley show, you were a part of it. Were you shocked at like how Ashley blew up? I mean, how?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, because I always knew she was, you know, like a badass when it came to like, she was always so unique, had her own style. You know, I knew she had the talent. Girls would love her. Guys would want to be with her. You know, it was that kind of thing. So it was a fun time to be around and watch that blow up. And that was a great time in music, you know, like early 2000s, some of those songs, I mean, those are songs that could, you know, like today, like when I'm in listening to Sirius, I listen to Pop 2K, because that every song was so good and so different. It was a really good time in music, I thought. So I enjoyed watching her career blow up. And then after her show, because of that, I got my own show on MTV. So I had a show called Score that was on after TRL every day. So then the next, you know, part of my career after Take It All Away, you know, I was making the You Stand Watching album. And then now I have my own show, which was not like a reality show, but kind of, it was more about songwriting and a dating show, like a contest, two people that I would write with, and we would write a song for a girl or a guy, and then they would sing it for him, but they couldn't see the person. So they had to choose who they wanted to go on a date with just based on the song. And then, so it was a great concept. We shot 40 episodes of that, and that was kind of the next stage of, you know, me moving on and getting my own thing after that.
Was it really like at the beginning of the Ashley Simpson show, like after that started airing, like, is that when you saw your career kind of take off? Like you said, like,
yeah, that was right. I think they knew what they were doing. They timed it, you know, because Joe is always thinking, he's like, okay, I got a plan now that Ryan Ashley dating, this would be a great time to drop an album. So of course he dropped that, you know, at the height of that show. And then that album kind of blew up, and that was during On the Way Down. And then, after On the Way Down, then we came back with, followed up with True. So then after that, that was when shit really got, you know, crazy in the TRL days, because True actually went charted higher than On the Way Down did. So that was a really fun part of the career as well, was after the True music video came out, and then the TRL days got real crazy.
It's like the power of MTV and TRL, right?
Yeah, well, because that was everything at the time, you know. Everybody was watching music videos, and, you know, obviously YouTubes and stuff like that didn't exist. So you had to be home after school at 3:30 so you could watch, you know, your favorite people on TRL. And that was always a dream of mine, you know, growing up, because I watched TRL. Was one day I'm going to be up and I'm going to go straight up to that window. I don't care if they tell me to wait. I'm like, I'm going straight to that window. And that was one of the coolest moments for me, was, you know, going up to that window and seeing that sea of people outside of Times Square. And I'm like, all right, this is finally when it sunk in that this is happening.
It's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, well, because for me, the biggest deals is, like, the things that, you know, you think, like, okay, one day I'm going to do this. And when you start to check out those things, these are the impossible things that, you know, a kid just sitting in his bedroom in Dallas, Texas, or Richardson, Texas, like, can't achieve. And when you do it, you're like, wow, this is cool. You know, it wasn't like making money or any of that kind of stuff for me. It was about these little things that I always dreamed of, you know, growing up, that one day I'm going to do. And I always told myself I would, you know, even though everyone else thought I was crazy. So when you got to do those things, you're like, oh man, that's pretty neat.
when did you start? So like, did you start dating Ashley like right before the Ashley Simpson show? Because I mean, I watched it. It was like right around the same time,
it was
right?
Like in the beginning, it was kind of in the works because she was dating a guy named Josh, who's one of my good friends now. At the time, and then Josh and her broke up, and then I think I don't remember how the show went, but I think probably around episode 2 was when we were like, or maybe episode 3 is when we did our On the Way Down music video. She was in my video,
right?
And that was kind of when it went down.
And
is when we were like, oh, because we had a kiss in the video, and we're like, is this like a friendship that means, you know, we could tell something was going on there.
And Pieces of Me apparently is written about you.
It was. I remember she came home from the studio. I remember exactly, you know, in the apartment. She was like, I wrote a song about you. I think it's so good. And then she played it. And I was like, that is good. So it was really cool. And it was fun to hear, like, after that, you know, when it blew up. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's pretty neat to have a song written about you all over the radio.
What did you, so like when you kind of blew up, which I guess wasn't overnight, but it kind of was once the show came out, like what did you, did you make like a first purchase? Like just, did you, like, do you remember like just a obscene first purchase?
My first big purchase was...
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. Talk to one of them, they stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh. Somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today. Beautiful Anonymous.
Probably a car. I bought Joe Simpson's Porsche. And then, because he was getting rid of it, and I was like, well, if you're getting rid of that, like, you know, I'll buy it. So I was like, this could be my first big purchase. So I got that. And then the other thing was my bed. My bed was pretty expensive. But I was like, well, I mean, you sleep in it every day, so it's probably worth it.
Did you ever, like, let any of it go to your head? You know, like, when you're, like, in TRL? I mean, it'd be hard not to.
Oh, no. I was, dude. Really? I've always been super, like, I can't believe I'm here kind of person. And every day on stage, I'm like, I can't believe I get to do this. Like, I get to make people happy. And I get to write songs, make albums, perform concerts for a living. So every day, I'm very thankful. And I've always treated everybody the same, or at least I pride myself in trying to be nice to everybody, no matter what, as much as I can. And no matter who you were in the music business, whether you're doing something or you're not, everybody, we're all in this together. And it was never, I mean, ever any different than today or day one or day 20 or day, you know, selling whatever, however many millions of records. I'm like, I was just like, this is pretty neat. It's pretty nifty, this music business thing. And I think my friends can attest to that too. So I always had good people around me. I never wanted like the yes people. I never, really? I was like, dude, tell it like it is. I don't want anybody to tell me yes just because. Oh,
just
you?
Because now I'm here.
Sorry, I was gonna call. So I always had real friends live with me and try to treat everybody great and take care of people. And that was just always my style. And my mama raised me right.
I mean, I wouldn't hold it against you. Like, you know, you're at TRL Times Square. Like, that's good.
No, right now it was all the same. I remember that the one time I was performing on TRL, I went down and I looked at that crowd, and I think I was doing On the Way Down. So it was On the Way Down time period. And I remember being up there, and I was supposed to perform in the studio. And so I got there. I was like, can I perform down there? And they're like, what do you mean down there? I was like, just instead of the band, like, me put a microphone down there in that crowd with those people. And they were like scrambling. They're like, you know, because at the time, you know, the song was doing really well. They're like, they want to make you happy. I'm like, I want to be down there with them. And they made it happen. So like, there's still like pictures of me on the floor in that, you know, in that crowd of thousands of people in the streets of New York, Times Square. And they let me do it. So I was just like, I want to be down there with them. Like, you know, I thought it was important to put yourself with everybody and be the same as everybody else. So,
did you feel pressure in the sense that, like, because Newlyweds was so big, like, was there pressure, like, you and Ashley to be, like, Nick and Jessica 2.0?
I don't think so. I never felt any. I don't know if Ashley did, but she might be a little more so because that was her older sister.
Right.
At the time, you know, when you're younger and your older sister is super famous and you're trying to do your thing, but they were so different that it worked. You know, Ashley was such a different soul and different spirit than Jess, and their music was totally different, that it was never a competition, I don't think. And I never felt that way.
Now, and you, so you guys were dating, like, were you still dating during that whole, like, SNL thing?
Or was that we were. Sure was.
So how was that? I mean, like, to me now, it's not, it's almost like if you look back on that, it's not that big a deal.
It was all BS. It was just because it was the, you know what, and what happened, Ashley got sick, lost her voice, didn't want to sing. Like, she was like, she wanted to cancel. It's like, I can't sing. And this happens to singers all the time, everybody. And now it's just a little bit more publicized that that stuff happens. And at the time, but the label made her do it. And so they're like, you have to do it. We're just going to put a track. And because this is SNL, you can't miss it. So she got the raw end of the deal there, because people were, you know, doing that all the time. Just, you know, there was an accident that happened with whoever was in charge of playing it. Had that not happened, nobody ever would have known. She would have been singing the next day. Ashley has always been a great singer. So it just sucks that it got skewed into something like that. Like, oh my God, maybe she can't sing because she, you know, sang tracks. Like, no, we're human beings and we get sick and we lose our voices. It happens to everybody. It happens to Beyonce, except for whoever it was didn't accidentally screw the track up, you know? So it was just a complete baloney, you know, story that came out. It sucked at the time. It says, yeah, you know, it hurt her personally and emotionally, because, you know, for anybody to say what they were saying after that was all BS. And so it was an unfortunate scenario, but, you know, I guess it happens, you know. People realize now, like, everybody would be like, oh no, I wasn't singing. I was sick that week. I don't care, but I'm not going to, you know, give up. I think at the time they're trying to cover it up, maybe because it never happened to anybody yet, but I consider her a trailblazer for people to at least get to come out and be, and say, hey, we're human. We get sick. We lose our voices sometimes. And that's what happens.
And right, like, everyone sings to backup tracks now.
People do it, every single person. You know, there's been times, you know, and sometimes you have to. Like, there's been shows that I've been on that they've made me lip sync. I won't call them out, but they make you. And I'm like, what? I don't want to lip sync, but they make you. And you roll with it and you do it.
Yeah. That's why, to me, it was like, other than a fuck up, I'm like, I don't see the big deal. Like,
it wasn't. But whatever, people, everybody has an opinion, you know, and everybody wants to say what they want to say. I'm like, yeah, silly.
Now, what was Jessica, like, do you still keep in touch with Jessica too? Because I know you still keep in touch with Ashley.
Yeah, because Ashley married one of my best friends, so I love seeing them. I saw Jess at, like, a wedding was the last time I saw her. Every once in a while, me and Joe will catch up. But, you know, not like too often.
What, like, you know, back in the day, just because Jessica was so successful and, you know, I mean, the whole family is very successful. You're successful, but, like, Jessica has a gazillion dollars. Was she just like, was it Christmas morning when Jessica came over? Like, does she take care of the whole family? Like, is there present? You know, you just have this vision with all her billions.
I mean, I'm sure there was. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I would imagine she probably, I mean, she's a very, very sweet, giving person. So, I mean, the whole family was, they've always been everything, nothing but amazing.
Did you read, I don't know if you read her book. I mean, I did, just because I'm a huge Jessica fan. So, like, she says, this is not saying anything out of school. Like, she talks in the book about how, like, she basically, like, had a problem with drinking and now is, like, she basically said she was an alcoholic and now she's, like, recovered. Did you ever have any, like, just really fun nights out with Jessica Simpson?
Oh, we had plenty of fun nights. Yeah, there was, I mean, we saw all go to, like, see this 80s cover band called the Spasmatics. And would just, you know, typically end up on stage at one point, you know, having fun. And so back in the day, we used to have a blast all the time. But I did not read the book, but, you know, I'm proud of her or anybody who can talk about, you know, any, you know, problems that they were having, because obviously that's hard when you have an image to uphold in, you know, the world where everybody wants to judge everybody. So, you know, that's really, I think, big of her to be able to come out with her if she had an addiction problem. I never saw anything from my own personal, you know, hangouts and stuff, but it was just always just like all in good fun. We all liked our drinks and to have a good time. And that was a wild time.
And no judgments, because I like my drinks too. So
oh yeah, but in the best way. Like we'd all, yeah, it was good times, great oldies guaranteed.
Are you shocked that, like, look, because your music is so good, you have so much else going on in life now, are you shocked that, like, people, like, just the way the world works, that, like, here I am, that people just want to talk about your love life and trace it through to the present? Like, are you always shocked when that comes up in interviews, or are you just used to it by now?
I think at this point, I'm just used to it. You know, there's a lot that, you know, people don't know. There's this stuff that, obviously, you know, people find out, and a lot of it's not true half of the time, and we just laugh at it. But a lot of the, you know, the real stuff, or, you know, the majority of stuff is pretty private, other than, you know, the fun of, like, you know, I think, you know, the Instagram thing now is fun, you know, getting to put stuff out there and let your fans know that you're happy and what you're doing. But there's a lot of stuff that isn't seen or isn't known, at least in my life. And in that aspect of it. So the other stuff that's already, like, public knowledge, like, oh, I don't care. People already know, like, who cares? Like, I got nothing to hide.
Do you laugh? You know, like, I mean, now we'll get into your current situation in life. Like, do you ever laugh when you read certain things about yourself, of just, like, or whatever?
Oh,
it is, just
all, like, the time. All the time, except for when, if there's, like, you know, some stuff that's, like, clearly a lie. But, you know, the majority of stuff, you know, we never comment about anything unless it's, like, something that's actually offensive, or, you know, there's been plenty of stuff said about me that's completely false and totally ridiculous. Me and my lady now, like, we laugh about a lot of it because it's just hysterical, because it couldn't be more, like, false or the exact opposite of what, you know, I'm really like, or, you know, my loved ones are really like. So that, right, kind of stuff. The best way is to just read it and laugh, because you don't know those, you don't know the people. So whatever they think about you is what they think. That's fine.
Well, right. Like, I sat down with your friend Constantine Maroulis recently, and he was,
I love Connie.
We love Constantine. Love. And he was, like, mentioned on The Real Housewives of New York. And I'm
of course,
sure you
of
don't,
course he was. That, right, does not surprise me at all.
Constantine's talk about a fun person to hang out with. Constantine's fun.
Oh, we've always had a blast.
He's fun.
I the first time we ever met, I saw him in the streets. It was right when he was like, it was when his season of Idol, and I was like, hey, I forget what year he was on, but I was like, hey, we're the guy from American Idol. He's like, what's up, man? And I'm like, oh yeah. I was like, you're awesome, dude. And he's like, all right, cool. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going over here. Let's hang out. And then for that moment, we hung out that night, had a blast. Have been friends ever since.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw him, like, walking down the streets in Hollywood. Like, we were out at night one night, and I was like, hey! And then ended up, I always have people jam at the house, and everyone ends up around the piano at some time. Majority of people, I would say, in Los Angeles have probably been to my house and have probably sat around that piano playing music. So he's been a good friend ever since.
And you guys just stayed in touch.
Oh,
since,
yeah,
since then.
Oops, sorry, I'm just getting a FaceTime. I'm gonna decline that. There we go.
That's okay. You're busy. No, we love Constantine. What do you feel about, like, speaking of Constantine, what do you feel about, like, music shows? Like, you know, listen, like, there's Carrie Underwood, there's Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the names that roll off the top of my head.
Oh,
I know,
yeah.
Constantine. You know, like, does the format of, like, the music show not work anymore just because is it saturated? Like, Idol, The Voice?
I mean, I don't know. It just depends. It clearly has worked for a lot of people, and there, you know, some incredible artists who may you know, the reality of the fact is there's, it's hard to get discovered even in this world with the internet, because you think like, oh, I'll just put a video on YouTube, and if you're really good, somebody's gonna find you and then you'll blow up. I mean, but there's so many talented people that, you know, there are, it's hard to get noticed. So if there's a show where, you know, you're guaranteed to at least get in front of some people who can, you know, get you to the next stage, then I think they're great. But there's a lot of them. So it's going to take somebody who's not only great, but then somebody who, you know, has a creative vision, I would say, you know, to, and, or, you know, can write a song, you know, like, you know, or just have like enough style. And sometimes the honest truth is they get lucky. Some people get lucky, you know, if you get given the right song, because there's a lot of people, you know, obviously right now they don't write their own songs. So they're only as good as the song that the writers or the labels or whoever give them. And that's just the truth. So I do think it is good though, that it gives everybody a chance to have a platform to get discovered.
How else do you think like the music business has changed since like, you know, the TRL days and when you were first coming up to like now?
It was very, very different. Do you
like any new music now? Like, do you listen? I mean, I'm not so great with new music personally, but
yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to too much new music because I'm weird. Like, I listen right now, like, I listen to more like Billie Holiday and Frank Sinatra and like kind of old school stuff. But I mean, I love Ed Sheeran, I love Shawn Mendes. I mean, there's still amazing artists coming out and really cool records, and but I'm more of an old school guy. A lot of Christmas music in my house. You're gonna hear a lot of Christmas music if you come over.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
Do you see like a younger version of yourself in Ed Sheeran or Shawn Mendes?
I mean, I don't really compare, but I mean, as far as like, yeah, the singer-songwriter vibe world, yeah, it's cool to see. I think it's amazing because I love seeing like that, you know, style represented and represented well. You know, Sean's an amazing writer, Ed's an amazing writer, both incredible singers, incredible performers. So I am, you know, proud that, you know, at the time when my first record came out, you know, there was only a handful of the acoustic kind of style as mainstream music. You know, there obviously was plenty of other, the exact same kind of genre, but as far as mainstream music goes, you know, there was only a handful at the time, and now you get to see a lot more of that can like still living on. So that makes me very happy. I'm still like a sucker for a great acoustic ballad. So I love that, because in a world where the radio was becoming way more rhythmic, you know, when there's a acoustic ballad come out, you know, Thinking Out Loud, you know, that transformed that. We can still have that a mix like Pitbull and, you know, whoever else is on the radio at the time.
Right.
I think it's dope.
Before we get into your new music, let's mm-hmm. talk about, just because I am a reality TV junkie, I have my favorites. Yeah. So just humor me and let's just talk about, I think, one of the best reality shows of all time, The Hills. Yes. Okay. So talk to me, you and Audrina. I mean, you, like,
yeah.
Somehow you've been on lots of reality shows. Like, you ended up on The Hills.
And it was never on purpose or wasn't trying. It just so happened that the girl I was dating at the time then became, you know, on the show. Me and Audrina met in like 2003, before she was ever on The Hills or before she even lived in LA. And, you know, we were kind of, you know, went off and on date at the time. And then she finally moved to LA. And then, you know, she was on that show when we got back together for the first time. And then it was like, oh, so part of my life now is, you know, with cameras around and, you know, would you be okay at that? I'm like, not really sick, but would you do it for me? So that way, at least, you know, I don't have to like fake everything on the show, and, you know, I could have at least somebody real in my life. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'll do it for you. And then we kind of been off and on for a long time. Then we broke up, and then we got back together years later. And then they did that, you know, show again. But my reality TV now, like, because me and my girl, we love like 90 Day Fiance, The Bachelorette and, you know, Love Island. Like, so we get our fair share of reality TV out here.
Are you loving this season of The Bachelorette?
It's something. It's something. I like Tayshia. I do. I wasn't
a Claire fan. I was never really a Claire fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought something was a little suspect there. I thought since episode one, I was like, this just seems a little off to me. These two people definitely knew each other. They'd definitely been talking. I personally refuse to believe that they never had any contact. Or if they did not, then that scares me.
That was just
our opinion. I'm like, and I know like how those shows work, you know. So I know you can for the show, you know, BS your way to make it work, you know, for the show. So I'm like, I call bullshit.
But you're happy now with Tayshia that you're kind of.
Yeah, I think she's great.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot less drama, although hopefully there'll be some, because that's what you watch that show for. So it was entertaining.
And Love Island is great too.
Oh my God, it was fun. The second season was great. And I didn't think we were going to get into it because I watched the British version, the UK version. And I got into that. I watched like every season. So I was like, it's so good. So then when it came to America, I was like, this isn't going to be as good. And then this season in Vegas, like really surprised me. I was like, dude, we're obsessed now.
In 90 Day Fiancé, that's about.
Okay. Oh my God. So addicting. It's so addicting. I can't help it. And there's so many. There's like 90 Day before the 90 Day, after the 90 Day. How many days now? Like there's every single one. And that's why it's like, okay, this is good because, you know, there's always going to be another one. I'm terrible at watching anything like every week. So I need to watch like six in a row. And we got into Marrying Millions too, which is so good.
You like more of like the, I don't even know. I'm not going to say low brow, but they're lower brow. Not in a bad way. They're really good.
It's real cheesy, but we love them.
Did you?
We love love. But then the 90 Day Fiance, the ones, that's more of the like, what the hell are you thinking? Y'all crazy. These are real human beings doing this. I'm like, what? There's nothing like no TV show, you know, or what? I don't know what, if they're doing that or just making things happen because they think they're going to get like followers or something, or they probably do get followers. And then, you know, maybe they can start a business, you know, after that. And that's why they do it. I'm like, that is not worth it. There is nothing in the world worth going through with the crap that they go through on that show. But that shit's entertaining as hell. I can't help it.
It's The Bachelorette's my favorite though, out of all this. I love The Bachelorette.
I've been watching that for a long time. So I'm all about those shows.
Did you not want to be on the hills like after? Cause like you've done, were you just like, I just don't want cameras.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. But I was being a good boyfriend, you know, I was supporting and it was what it was. That's all I can say.
Well, and then you did.
I don't know any of the people on the show. Like I know them, but I don't know them. And I don't have anything in common with them. I don't really, being there was literally only to support her. I wasn't going to like put it on for the cameras to try to pretend to have anything in common with these people. Cause I don't. So I was there out of pure support.
I just think it's like all of a sudden there's a real aspect to the hills. Like, I mean, out of everything that's so fake on it.
Nothing that me and Audrina did or talked about on that show is how we were in real life. It was, you know, how we are in real life or were in real life in versus what we were like on that show. It's completely two different things.
And then we saw you on The Hills New Beginnings too.
Yeah, if that was whatever the reboot was. I think I was just there in spirit too. I kind of just phoned that in. I'm like, okay, I'll be there. I was like, just keep me away from everybody else, please, as much as you could. They're like, will you shoot with Misha? I'm like, I'll shoot with Misha. But, you know, we did like a boat scene, I think. I was like, as long as it was fun, you know, like funny, you know, or like that kind of stuff. Like I was just goofing around trying to make it, you know, fun because that's just how I am. And like, you know, they don't really keep much of me because they know, well, can you talk about this or can you be serious or act like that? And I'm like, nah, I can't do it.
You're like, no, thank you.
No, like I'm just here to support her and try to provide a little comic relief at least and make her laugh.
Did you know Misha before that?
No. But we'd met before that, and you know, she was really nice. So I was like, okay, cool. We can go out and, you know, I'll pretend to talk to her about things that of people I don't know.
Well, there's a show if you ever want to watch, you should go watch The OC. I mean, it's not a reality show, but Misha was on.
I saw that back in the day. The OC was fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. That was a great show.
That's why when Misha was coming to the Hills, I was like, bravo, because The OC was like... Yeah.
This is the real thing. I saw it asked her on the boat. I was like, wait, you were on The OC. Now you're a show that's... I was like, did you guys actually film in Orange County or whatever? She's like... No, we filmed over here. I thought it was funny.
But like that just to me says like, look at how far reality TV has come. Like the Housewives do it all the time. Where like you take these actresses and actors for like a quote unquote career revival.
Yeah, throw them in.
Which could or may not work. Right. In Misha's case, it didn't work. I mean, even though she is phenomenal, I feel as
yeah, person. I never saw it, so I don't even know, but. I know, I love The OC. The OC was great.
The OC was one of the best shows ever.
Yeah.
So you were friends with Evan Ross before him and Ashley dated? And he asked you...
We've been friends for a long time.
He asked you for permission to propose? Is this a true story?
He's just a good guy. You know, like He knew, like, there was, me and Ashley broke it up so long ago, and we're, you know, all just friends, and people always try to blow up these stories, you know, kind of out of proportion. They're like, wait, but y'all are friends? Like, how does that work? Like, friends, I was like, first off, one of my friends dating, you know, someone who I still, you know, is a great friend, and I want that. I was like, now I know a good person's with a great person. I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome, so... I think they're an amazing couple, and they just had another baby, so I couldn't be more excited for Evan. And I think it's great. You know, I want the best for her and him. And I think it's, you know, people think it's weird that people are still friends with exes and friends, blah, blah, all that stuff. I'm like, why? I was like, there was nothing bad happened in our relationship. We were still cool. You know, I was still managed by her dad. And I was like, I was thrilled when, you know, I heard.
Where did you meet your current fiance? Well, not current. Where did you meet your fiance?
Yeah, it's crazy to even say.
When we started, I think you almost said girlfriend. Like, is it still fresh
in
your mind?
It's brand new. It was 4 days ago. I'm getting used to it. And it sounds amazing. It's like one of the probably the most important thing that's ever happened in my life happened that day. And to me, this is what I care about more than any career, any, you know, anything else is this girl. And I knew it, you know, from the very beginning. We met, actually, a lot of people think we met because of The Miz, because I'm on his show on USA Network, and he's a wrestler, and my fiance is a wrestler. So people thought, obviously, he introduced us, but no, it was really, there was an internet rumor that we were dating. We didn't even know each other. She thought I was married to Ashley when she first heard that we were dating, and I didn't know who she was at the time. So it was all because of this internet rumor. And then we started talking because we're like, oh, I hear we're dating, huh? We're like, oh wow. And I happened to be doing some concerts in Orlando at the time for the Joey Fatone and Friends Epcot Food and Wine Festival, and then we met up and kind of. It just all started from there. So I was like, so whoever started that rumor, thanks.
Seriously.
Appreciate you.
Wow. And you just met her and you just kind of knew right away? Like you truly like,
yeah, it was so serendipitous. Like I had to be in Chicago for the Thanksgiving Day parade. She was in Chicago doing a WWE show. I happened to be going to New York to be doing some interview or something. She was in New York doing a WWE show. I was going to Dallas to visit some family. She was filming a music video. So we did we didn't not see each other from that moment for like more than 3 or 4 days ever. And then ever since then, you know, she was in LA doing a photo shoot or something. So hung out there, and then it kind of just, we never looked back from there. Yeah, I told her in the beginning, at the very beginning, I'm gonna marry you one day. And then, you know, after we just got engaged, I was like, she goes, go ahead and say it. I'm like, what? She's like, go ahead and say it. I'm like, I told you we're gonna get married one day. She thought I was crazy at the time, but when, you know, there is for me, I have, you know, done a lot of things. I've been around for a while, you know, I'm experienced enough to know what I want, what I don't want. And I know that when, from the second I met her, I was like, that is a one of a kind rare breed that I will never find again. So I was just really looking forward to getting to know her better. And we became best friends just like at the get go. And ever since that, it's been
wow,
incredible to say the least.
Were you a wrestling, like a big wrestling person before this?
I'm not really big. I was a big wrestling fan as a kid. And then when Mike first told me he wanted to get into wrestling, I was like, you're out of your mind. I was like, what? I thought he was crazy. And then, you know, he paid his dues and he worked really hard, and then he became a really successful wrestler. So he started inviting me to all the, you know, the wrestling things. And it's actually really fun, like, to go to like one of the events, like SummerSlam and WrestleMania. So every year I would go see him. And I love just going to the shows and seeing him in the ring and kind of about that. So, you know, I would go like once a year, twice a year and see it. But not really. Now, you know, obviously way more like into it because to support her,
yeah.
You know, you obviously hear, you know, you learn a lot about it. And I think it's really cool. She's incredible.
How long were you planning this engagement? Like, was this, I mean, like, you
No, this
you
knew, has been, this was like 3 months in the works.
And where did you, I mean, I saw the picture, it made Paid Six, but where did this all happen? Where did this all go?
It was at Epcot.
Oh.
After the park was closed.
So you arranged to close down the park.
We're huge Disney nerds. We love Disney. I mean, we met at Epcot. We're both, you know, I got Mickey, Peter Pan, like everything, tattoos everywhere. So we both have a huge, so it
just makes sense. Wow. What type of wedding do you guys want to have?
Oh, who knows? I think we got, right now, the biggest concern is, you know, figuring out what's going to happen with the world. And then, because to try to plan anything now is going to, it'll change so much. So it's like, who knows?
So you kind of want to wait until like the world opens.
Yeah, and figure out what happens.
So she hasn't said, I want a huge wedding, nothing like that yet.
We've talked about things, but you know, everything is just up in the air right now.
Well, congratulations on that. I know
thank
it just
you,
happened.
Thank you
so
much. Thank you.
Let's talk about your new music with Miss Tara Hack.
Yeah. So yeah, I think through Constantine, you know, she played me some of her music, and I was like, all right, her voice is dope. And then I think he told her, like, you know, Ryan Cabrera loves your voice, and somehow she knew who I was, I guess, and was like, oh, I wonder if you'd ever want to do a duet. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, of course. I was like, so she wrote this awesome song called Overthinking, which, like, to me, sounds like super throwbacky, like kind of, you know, top down, you know, summertime, like super cool song. And I wanted to make sure I could do it justice. So I laid my vocals down, LA, and I thought it sounded super cool together. Because you never know, you know, when you're doing a duet with somebody, it doesn't always work. And her voice is so cool and unique that I was like, I hope I don't screw it up. And then I heard it. I was like, dang, I was like, this is, it worked, and it works, and it sounds so good together. And it's really cool for me because I actually love the song. So now I have a song that I'm on that I want to listen to all the time. You never get tired of it. And, you know, she has really cool instincts, you know, for a new artist. And as a songwriter, I can really appreciate that. So that was kind of why I was like, oh, I'm totally down. And can't wait for people to hear it. And I think it's always exciting when you have new stuff coming out. And to me, I was honored to be asked to be a part of it. And I'm really glad Constantine played me your music, because I don't think if he would have played me her stuff back in the day, and I wouldn't have been like, dude, I love her stuff, that he would have mentioned like, hey, Ryan loves your music. So then she, you know, wrote this song for us.
Well, in a way, like you mentioned, like the Goo Goo Dolls, like you are kind totally. Of to her.
She loves Avril, and like, you know, is one of my good friends, and I wrote a song for her last album. So I was like, this just makes sense. And we have the similar taste in music. So, you know, you get, you know, offered to work with a lot of people, and it's not always right. And I'm pretty choosy and picky about, you know, who I work with. So with Tara, it was kind of a no brainer.
And I mean, I think it's like the song Overthinking. I know it's about like, she's gone through moments of thinking where like, maybe I should leave the music business because it's a hard business.
Everybody, I could relate exactly the same. Like I do it all the time. And I think that's what's cool about putting ideas like that and overthinking things. And, you know, you can drive yourself crazy. And sometimes you just gotta, you know what? It's gonna happen or it's not. And so it's cool to put that in song form, so that way the people who are doing it can kind of hear it and be like, oh, you know what, maybe I've been overthinking things, and it can maybe help them in their lives from the tune.
Is that the best advice you would give someone like starting out in the business, like just don't overthink it? Because I mean, depends. It can drive you crazy.
Probably, yeah, absolutely. Just, well, for me, exactly. Remember why you do it, why you're doing what you're doing. Obviously, you're going to have drive. And, you know, a lot of people are perfectionists. And, you know, sometimes it goes too far. And I think, but if you forget the reason why you're doing music, making music is fun, you know. But it can be really tough and, you know, kick you down. And, you know, you try to get back up and then kick you down and try to get back up and kick it down. But as long as you remember to have fun and enjoy it while you're doing it, you know, I think, you know, you're going to have a good time at least.
It's a great track. And which I didn't know until I just heard this the other day. She was like, I don't know, discovered is the right word, but like she was discovered in like the New York City subway system. Do you know this?
Yeah, I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the story. Everything about it I thought was just cool. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, I wish I was, just in a way, like, cause I used to go, like, I can relate. I used to go door to door. I would knock on houses, like in sororities, and I would be like, hey, can I come in and sing for you? You know, anything I could do to try to get people to listen. You know, and I think it takes that drive to do it. It was cool. Cause Andy Grammer, you know, he got discovered at the Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica, you know? So it's cool that the New York style, that worked.
From someone who rides the subway every morning, like there's a lot of good. It's like if you just listen, there's a lot of people. Right?
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with Avril?
Yeah, of course. She's still one of my best friends. I love Avril. She's great.
She's doing well.
Yeah. We talked to her today because she wanted to congratulate us, and she loves Lexi, and Lexi loves her. So. She's an amazing artist and an even better person.
Maybe you'll do a future duet with her one day.
You never know. You never know.
But the new song, it's out December 4th on Spotify, yep. Everywhere you can find new music. It really is great. Tara is, I think she's, I know she has an album coming out. She's a force to be reckoned with. It's like it's a great song.
It's going to be a fun ride. I'm really excited for her as well.
Is there anything else you want to share with us that we haven't covered before we wrap up? I always like to give people a chance at the end. Congratulations again on your engagement.
Thank you very much. No, I mean, just make sure and check out Overthinking on the 4th and follow Tara as well.
Everyone needs to follow Tara. Where can everyone find you online too?
I'm just at Ryan Cabrera. I'm easy to find. Let's be friends.
I will DM you. The new music is great. Thank you for entertaining all my questions. I really appreciate
it. You're so welcome. I appreciate it. That was a fun interview.
Have a good day.
All right, you too, bud.
Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.